You heard what we said out there, that Dr. MacArthur wants to publish our own hymnal. For some personal reasons, the hymnals in our pews are falling apart. And the hymnal that we have is the original Word hymnal for worship and celebration, originally published in 1986 by Word Music. I was talking to someone the other day, and it sold over 1 million copies in 3 years. It sold eventually 3 million copies. Then Word did a replacement for that hymnal called the Celebration Hymnal, I think it was. I don't know the year. Was it the late? Do you know, Seth, was it late 90s?
97, 98.
Okay. That was the replacement for that hymnal. Had a few more contemporary things in it, and that struggled to sell 1 million copies total. One of the last hymnals done was Lifeway's the worship hymnal / the Baptist hymnal, which are kind of the same thing, in 2008, and that has struggled to reach 500,000. So hymnals are not a big thing at churches anymore. We recognize that. Some of the older denominations do their own still, some Presbyterians, some Methodist ones. A friend told me the other day that two churches in Memphis, Tennessee, are actually going to do their own hymnals, but I don't know which ones they are. I honestly don't know. So we've been given the mandate that we're going to publish our own rather than buy another one for our pews. You know, sometimes things around here are go do it, and we figure out how to do it as we go. So that's kind of the challenge that we have. But one of the things that we're blessed with a pastor who loves music. He loves classical music. He loves good music, and he has an ear for good music. He's not anti-contemporary or that sort of thing, but he just likes quality, and he likes words, and he likes poetry that goes together. He's not one of these people that says, we're going to sing this song because the words are great, but the melody's kind of stinky. He wants them both to be beautiful. So we're fortunate in that. This hymnal that we're going to try to do is going to have old hymns, new hymns, and old hymns that are brought up to date. We're going to have Getty hymns. We're going to have Sovereign Grace songs, Stuart Townend and others. We're going to try to incorporate things that are out there that aren't in any other hymnal. On the one hand, it is supposed to be a new hymnal. The other point that we want to do is we really want to form what congregations are going to be singing for the next 20 to 30 years. It seems to us that the mainline music publishers are probably going to withdraw from this arena and not make the kind of investments in money and time to produce those kind of big hymnals. So we have an opportunity to do something. You might wonder, all right, how is this going to work in my church? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to try to create three editions. We're going to create a pew edition that is basically your four-part harmony. Now, I understand that most people don't sing four-part harmony out of the pew edition. I understand that most people don't read music. But we have to have some sort of basis. We just don't want to put together a songbook with melody lines. And hopefully some of your people will learn or do know how to sing four-part harmony, but it's a starting point. But that's the pew edition, which is mainly it's mainly there to exist to give people a basic rhythmic and lyrical content of what they're singing. It drives me crazy when I go to churches these days and I sit there and I follow a screen. And there's not even a bouncing ball, but it's songs that I don't know, and there's nothing for me to figure out what's the melody, what's the rhythm, and quite honestly, I feel like it wastes my morning very often. So I get very frustrated. I would like to see words that make sense with notes and rhythm, and that's what we need with a pew edition. The second edition we want to do is an accompaniment edition, and we recognize that most of churches have a keyboard or a piano. People don't buy pianos anymore. You know, when I was a kid and you went to the mall, there was a piano store in the mall. And you bought a piano and you brought it home and you took lessons. Or if you're like me, you quit after the first. But you learn to play the piano, and that's not part of our culture anymore. A keyboard, kids learning to play chords, that is. A guitar is part of our culture. So we're going to create an accompaniment edition that has more piano-type accompaniment with chord symbols so that you can take this to your instrumentalist and say, here, this is it. You don't just sit down with the pew edition and plunk out dunk, 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 the four-part harmony, okay? So we want to create that. And that's what we did this morning. Bob Coughlin has been very kind and said, you can use any of my piano arrangements for any of those hymns that I've accompanied it together for the gospel, that sort of thing. So Mark took a Bob's piano playing of this, the hymn we just did this morning, transcribed it, and we've got that available. Now that's kind of the direction we're heading with that. The third edition is probably going to be a devotional edition. One of the things that Pastor MacArthur has really been keen on with this is that, and if you go online, you'll see this in the video, is that every Christian needs a good commentary, a good study Bible, a good theology book, and a hymnal. So we're going to create a nice leather-bound hymnal. Now, some of the songs that we're looking at, I just wonder, do you guys sing these in your church? Do you sing Glorious and Mighty? Do you sing Glorious Christ? How many of you sing Glorious Christ? Okay. I know these because I'm old, but I'm working with a college band at Master's College, so that's how I know these other things. Otherwise, we don't sing them at church either. How many of you sing Behold Our God? How many of you sing All I Have is Christ? Okay. So more than half of you are singing those songs. And I assume you're using a screen, right? Okay. What about His Robes for Mine? It's a choir anthem, but it was written as a... Okay. Those guys have written some good songs. These three guys, some of them BJU, some of them master, I think one's a master's guy, maybe, or was. But they've written some good hymns. I think they've got 25 or so on their website. I Run to Christ is another one. Have you guys heard I Run to Christ? Any of you heard I Run to Christ? Yeah. It's a good hymn. BJU Student Body did a recording about a year ago. If you listen to some of it online, it's got some, I can't understand the words all the time. When you do a student body recording, that's tough. But if you go to Apple or you go online on iTunes or something, they've got some good hymns that they did also. And I Run to Christ is one of them. How many of you sing I Will Glory in My Redeemer? Okay. So you guys are singing, you're singing the Getty stuff, you're singing the Sovereign Grace stuff. Okay. See the Destined Day Arise. Anybody sing it except guys at Capitol Hill? Okay. That's one that Capitol Hill Baptist does. Now, Dever is very, very precise about picking the hymns that they do there. And they do a lot of old hymns. And I'm more than willing to use a lot of those old hymns. But what we want to provide is an accompaniment that helps you guys and is really that. Look, we realize that Grace Community is a very different church. We have an organ. We have an orchestra. And honestly, I travel all over the country, and it's not happening in other places. So I realize that our situation is unique. And when you come here and you sing with us, I realize it doesn't always transfer back to what you do. So we want to give you something. So we've got to come up with a source. And I'm trying to figure out where we start from as far as a base for our source, because we can't, some of you use orchestra. How many of you use instrumental parts, cello, flute? How many of you use stuff on a regular basis? Anybody use orchestra on a regular basis? Okay. I recognize most people don't, but I also recognize that there needs to be an option for people. So I have been talking to the head of Lifeway Music. Their last hymnal, if I look at that hymnal, I see 200 or so songs that we will include, titles that we'll include. How many of you use lifewayworship.com? Just a couple. Okay. Any of their hymnal stuff, you can go download an instrumental part, a piano part, the whole orchestration. That's where I've got to start from, that we've got to have your basic hymns, and Can It Be, Amazing Grace, How Firm a Foundation. Some of you need instrumental parts. And that's where I'm going to lean on Lifeway and say, please go there for that sort of stuff. But that's probably going to leave about half of our new hymnal without orchestrations or instrumental parts until Mark Rice writes them. And that's going to take the rest of his life. So, but we may have an agreement with Lifeway where after he writes them, they'll be available at their website. We would like to try to keep things at sort of one point of connectivity, and that's something that we're in negotiation with them. Let me go on to the next one. Keyboard arrangements, like I said, about half of them will probably lean on Lifeway, and about half of them we will try to do custom ourselves. If I can get Bob Coughlin to help with that, I will. If Keith Getty will, I asked Keith last night if he would, and he said, I'd rather be strung upside down. But then he confessed and he said, but my guys might tell me it'd be a good thing and I should do it. So if we can do that, we'll do that. But we want to provide a piano accompaniment to every single hymn in the hymnal that doesn't sound like the old dink, dink, dink. You know, I grew up in church and Mrs. Carpenter played the organ and scarred me for life. So input that I need from you guys. You know, when you pick up the word hymnal, there's about 580 hymns in there. There's some doxologies. There's some calls to worship. There's some scripture readings. There's topical index. There's even the index of hymn authors with their year they were born and the year they died. The reason why they know that, my father's sermons were not always the greatest, but I memorized many. I looked for the oldest guy all the time. The hymnal kept me busy in church. So we can't put all that stuff into a hymnal. So what's important? First of all, I'm going to skip ahead. I think I know the answer to this. This is taken from the Lifeway, the worship hymnal. This is Angels from the Realms of Glory with an optional last verse key change and an optional extended ending. Now, I recognize that in a worship service, you don't have to have all of that music there, that people can hear and follow direction. You can change keys and you can get people to sing the last verse. I recognize that. However, Seth, for your choir, what do you want? You want to see all the music for your choir?
Yes, sir.
Yep. Will you use this?
Typically not.
Okay. Anybody use an extended choral ending?
Yeah, but not usually those.
Okay.
Sometimes they're not great.
So you write your own?
Yeah, I've tried to.
So you don't need them printed there. Would you prefer to have these, the key change?
Sometimes. Yeah.
Okay. How many of you like key changes on last verses? Okay. Yeah, we're kind of, and going through some of these old hymns, there's 5 to 7 verses. And it is nice to have by the time you get to that 7th verse, it's like, let's change it up a little bit, you know? So I recognize that, and I think that that's one thing that would be very helpful. Let me go back to where we were again. Extended endings, choral endings, I assume that those are things you probably could write if you want them for your people. Scripture readings. Do any of you use hymnals for scripture readings? Oh, you do? Okay. Regularly? What do you have a specific version in your hymnal, ESV, NASB, or?
It's New King James, celebration hymnal.
Okay, all right. Topical index. How many of you use the topical index? Really? Okay. For planning purposes, you like the topical index. Okay. How many of you want to see contemporary Christian music songs in a hymnal? Anybody? Okay. When I say contemporary Christian, I'm talking Matt Redman and Chris Tomlin and that sort of thing. I didn't even mention Hillsong. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, we use some of those songs, understanding that they're going to have a short shelf life.
Right.
It's a hymnal. So.
Right, and that's my position is, most of those songs are gonna fade within 15 years, and. Do I want to put it in a hymnal that I really want to be used for at least twice that amount of time? Because by the time that fades, there's going to be another one. There's going to be something that takes place. So where do I draw the line? That's the tough thing. is how great is our God good enough to last a long time, or is it already fading? I just don't think, for me, textually, musically, I don't see it as lasting that long. It's a great song, and I love to sing it, and I'll use it in a worship service. But to me, I'm not sure I'd put that in a hymnal. So listen, you want to make some comments on that in the survey? Please do. I would love to hear your comments. Doxology's call to worship in a hymnal. Does that anybody use those? Okay. Well, I don't have a hymnal with me, but there are amens, there are let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, there's the doxology, there's things like that in hymnals that if you attend a more liturgical service, they probably would use. A lot of the time when I work in New York City, I attend Redeemer Prez, which is liturgical, but they don't use hymnals, primarily because they didn't used to have their own facilities. So every service was in a rented facility, so there were no hymnals, but they print the music in the bulletin, that sort of thing. But they would use doxologies and creeds, but we ended up singing pretty much the same ones on a regular basis, not a wide view. So any questions regarding any of that?
Phil, will you have the Hallelujah chorus?
Are you doing it as a congregational number? I don't know. Are there any royalties associated with it? Is it free? If it's free, maybe. You know, I think the funny thing is, I think people get a kick out of standing up and singing that with a choir, but the music doesn't really mean much to them. I'm not against having it. How many of you use it in a hymnal? Yeah, any of you use it? Okay. I think part of it is everybody wants to feel like they've sung the Hallelujah chorus once, and then they go around saying, I sang the Messiah. So, so any other questions regarding content? Yes.
I have a question about the keys these hymns are written in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a Sunday school teacher, but I occasionally lead a hymn sings in our church.
Right.
Some of the hymns, you know, the notes are pretty high there.
Well, we used to be able to sing higher, but now we don't, which is true. We used to sing hymns, E flat and E was okay. Now we don't want to go above a D. My feeling is, now we did go, when we changed keys this morning, did we go to E flat? Did we have E flat or an E when we changed keys? We went to an E, but I don't know if it's E flat or E.
I think we went to E.
Okay, which E is pretty high for you normal people. But if you would take a few voice lessons, it wouldn't be hard. My feeling about range is I really don't like lower than an A. I feel that that's too low on the melody. And we try to keep everything without going above a D. We might hit an E flat or an E occasionally, but we try to stay away from that. The other consideration is going to be getting keys that are more convenient for guitars also. That has to come into consideration. Are you okay with a D? I mean, do you find people sing okay up to a D?
Certainly, yes.
Okay. But older hymnals do regularly have things at E flat and E, because as a culture, we did used to sing higher because we knew how to sing. We knew how to get the voice to go up. And nowadays we would rather, you know, everybody wants to sing in their chest voice and nobody knows how to get through the break, but that's another discussion. Okay.
But I think we will definitely address that issue. Because like All Creatures of Our God and King in your songbook, I took down a half step from the word hymnal. That was up to E flat, but it just kind of goes up there, you know, quite a bit. And I thought that was a little bit high. A D is a little bit friendlier for guitar.
Right.
Anyway.
Right. So we do take that into consideration with every song that we look at. I think our feeling is if you have to touch an E flat or an E once or twice in a hymn, we're okay with that, but we probably wouldn't make people sit up there. If you're going to sit up there, we'd probably have you sit up there on a D, and that's probably about it. And the funny thing is, a lot of Keith's song, Getty songs, I mean, they're written for Kristen, so they're low. But he tends to go basically from A to D. He writes a lot of stuff in the same keys, and there's usually a wide range in the melody. So we're trying to be sensitive to that also. Did you have a question? We probably would exclude that.
It
all comes down to probably budget and time at some point. Having stuff laid out professionally is expensive. So the more that actually falls into a header layout thing, and that cost is even a separate cost from the music layout thing. So it does get expensive, and I'm not sure that that's absolutely necessary. And plus, I don't probably trust most of the scripture references. Yeah, they're put there by music.
It's a similar question, but you only listed one type of index. Are you kind of excluding the others, like the metered index and the composer index?
I don't think that the composer index we would include. I think probably the most important is the topical.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yes. We'll go by topic, yes. That's a little tough if we have some orchestrated medleys that are already orchestrated custom-wise. Like the songbook you have for the conference, there are some songs purposely placed together. The ones that have little arrows next to verses, those are part of medleys that Mark's already orchestrated, so they might not clearly be topically together. But they're there for medley purposes. And that's another consideration also to keep in mind, too. Yes? Anyone else?
Yeah, are you guys definitely committed to the four-part structure, even for something, say, like O Great God, that, I mean, in its construction and singing, it would never really lend itself to, you know what I mean?
Yes, we are committed to the four-part harmony, and I think we have O Great God in four-part harmony. We're not so committed that it means that everything's going to be, you know, is going to pass theory 101. We're going to probably be a little bit more up to date and liberal. There may be some parallel things that God will forgive later, but we may do some of that. But, you know, we recognize we do live in the present, and people hear things differently. Harmonies are people hear harmonies differently and are more accepting. So, yes.
Just a thought about what you just said, living in the present. But you have a desire to have this thing, you know, live on for 30, 35 years. What's your, maybe you don't have a view of the future of music, but are there indications that would say that at that time things will be so changed that perhaps what you're putting together now will no longer have that?
Well, I think one of the things is just to make it beautiful. I think beauty transcends time. I mean, you know, for many years I live singing music that's 100 years old. And personally, I think that musical creativity doesn't exist so much anymore. You know, we still sing Puccini's melodies because actually they're better than what melodies people write today. I think my personal feelings on artistic creation is that we live in a time when there's a lot of duplication and there's a lot of copying that goes on. Partly because of recorded media, it is very difficult to get things out of your head once you have heard them over and over. And that certainly influences anything you create. Anything. And I think most guys will admit that there's a little bit of this in that, there's a little bit of this. You know, but when you go back to guys who didn't have that recording medium available to them, but they just sat down in a room with a piano and just created melodies and harmonies, the things that just, what they've created can really stand the test of time. So I think for us, we want it to be content. We want the content to have stood the test of time in some situations, that it's still, the words are still applicable to how we as believers live and worship. I think the new songs, that still has to be what we're looking at from those. But I think musically, it really has to be beautiful. It has to be singable. So the words and the notes have to come together in a way that makes it easy for people to do that. Our pastor has some very distinct thoughts about worship, and he doesn't often verbalize it. In fact, our pianist of almost 50 years, she played almost 50 years, died of cancer this past fall. And you probably, if you've come over past years, you probably saw the tall, skinny lady who played the piano, Mary Jane. And Mary Jane started at this church as a teenager, pre-John MacArthur. And at her funeral, he probably spoke more on worship and music than I've heard him speak on in a sermon. And his main point is this. Music is not worship. And he has said that many times. Music is the vehicle by which we express our worship. And we live in an evangelical community where, frankly, sometimes we worship the music. You know, when a certain chord is played or a certain words are sung, boom, okay? Everybody's in the mood and in the moment. And it just has become sort of overwhelming. We call it worship music. We've, you know, created this whole group of people who do worship music and worship songs. And worship encompasses much, much more than music. And it's wonderful that we can use it to express our worship. But we don't want music to be the main thing. You know, it's when you get down to it, and I know this is sacrilegious to people I work with, but it really is dots and sticks on a piece of paper. And there's a wonderful thing that happens when you play notes and stuff, but I'm not sure Mozart's going to be played in heaven. I don't know. I know there's some people who believe that. I don't listen to Mozart, so yeah, I won't be disappointed. I'm pretty sure Wagner's not there. But I love his stuff. Okay, yeah.
For the newer songs, what's your process for like copyrighted songs? So like,
well, it's what happens with a print license. The way it works is you basically take and say to the copyright owners, a certain percentage of our retail price is for print licensing, and then everybody who's copyrighted in the songbook gets a part of that percentage. So the more copyrighted songs there are on the songbook, the less they get, and it's usually about 10%. So it's a little different when you begin to do it commercially and you begin to do it in a hymnal type form. So, yes? Right.
Are you going to have some kind of theological review of the songs to make sure they're accurate theologically and so on?
Well, are we going to have a committee? No. Does Pastor John look at the list? Yes. Yeah. I mean, this hymnal will have his name on it. So he's already, like the songbook that you have, he was shown the list of songs before it was ever printed. Okay. So there is that. Then several that are involved are at least seminary students, so there's that too. But there won't be a formal committee, but it'll be passed around by enough guys here at the seminary and at the church that will go through that. If, you know, my feeling on that is there are some songs, maybe I can show you. If I put something else on this screen, if I get out of this, can I show you something else? Oh, it looks kind of strange though, doesn't it? I'll show you a song that I changed. It's in your hymn. It's in your songbook, right? Complete in Thee. Do any of you use this hymn? Okay. Did any of you change the words? You did. What'd you change?
Each needs supply.
Oh. I didn't change that one. I changed verse 2. Do you remember what verse 2 says? Verse 2 originally said, complete in thee no more to sin. So I was like, oh, this was written by a Union Seminary student in 1800s or so. Look, I don't know if he was delving into Wesleyan theology or not, but he's dead and it's not copyrighted. So I changed it. Complete in thee I die to sin, thy grace hath conquered, reign within. Thy voice shall bid the tempter flee, and I shall stand complete in thee. So we will do things like that occasionally. If we are, now, hopefully we're not so reckless poetically that it sounds like we did it. You know, the key is, find something that fits poetically and try not to be arrogant about it and think that you've recreated something. But I would rather not have something in it that creates a question. Now, look, I know that anything can create a question, okay? There are people who will question, and I can't make everybody happy. But I don't want to create broad questions with what's out there. So we will kind of be on the lookout for that. Yeah, Seth.
Hey, Phil, because some of the keys you'll probably land on are not as conducive to guitarists, guitar-led worship.
Right.
Have you given any thought to a capo version, accompanist edition?
We've thought of making available in the accompaniment book or either online different keys. That's been our thought. We didn't want to do a capo, did we?
The only problem is it's a little bit confusing to the pianist sometimes if they use chord symbols and you have capo version chords up there because the chords don't match the notes. So maybe a separate edition or something available separately.
Yeah.
It would be essential, yeah.
Yeah, and probably would probably make that. Originally, we had talked of maybe even going to a third-party website, but then when Lifeway kind of offered and said, look, if we let you do this, will you let us sell and make your stuff available so that there's a central place where people can get stuff for your hymnal? So we kind of like that idea because then we don't have to find people in this building who know how to build a website and we don't have to do all that stuff. So, yeah. Yeah.
The reason I ask is I'm not doing the chapel,
right?
Floyd chapels and our chapels, that is very convenient because we don't have to carry or ship books.
Do you mean an electronic edition with music and notes of the pew edition?
The pew edition would be useful for at least one of the chapels, but the accompaniment edition.
We have thought about it. We just haven't gone down that road yet because that probably entails a little licensing discussion that we just haven't had yet. But we would like to do an e-version of the pew edition and the accompaniment edition. We don't have a problem with people coming to church and flipping open their iPad and turning to hymn number such and such, you know. At our church, when you stand in the choir loves to watch the scripture reading at our church because when Pastor John gets up to do the scripture reading, everybody has a glow because they all... So everybody's face lights up. So, but those are things that we're kind of exploring. Yes.
So when we go, we use Song Select. Mm-hmm. And when we go in there, most of the hymns that they show are just the lead sheet.
Right.
And there's no accompaniment, no four part harmony.
Right.
And so are you trying to go four part harmony digitalized so we can get that?
The Pew edition will have four-part harmony. Will we do it as an ebook? We just don't know yet. It's possible. I don't know if we would sell. I can't tell you if we would sell those singularly or if we would say you have to buy the whole hymnal, you know, and download it that way. I just don't know.
What we've done is actually taken a lot of hymns and just put them together and put them in a computer.
Right.
Right. And then we use that, and then that can trans. You can change the keys.
Right.
As you know, you
right.
Whatever key you want to sing on. And like you said, usually we land in the lowest note being A, and
right.
The highest note being C, with a few wanderings and
CDs. Right. See, the thing is, if you're a CCLI member, it's a lot easier for you to do that licensing-wise than it is for us to sell you something to do that. So that's the issue we have to discuss legally, is which works better. That's
right.
Yeah, they don't, right. Yeah.
Are you guys planning to write new songs?
Are we planning to write new songs? Last Sunday, I was given three hymnals by my pastor to go through. And one of them was just the complete works of Isaac Watts with no music. It was just his poetry. So I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do with that. I don't know if that was a compliment or if that was a hint, like, go come up with something. I haven't given it to Mark yet. I should probably give it to Mark and say, put this under your pillow at night and see if anything happens. But I don't think we're not purposefully trying to write new hymns. No, we don't. That's not part of our plan. If something comes up, you know, I guess it might happen, but that's, I mean, we really want to get this done by the end of the year. So, you know, we don't want to drag that out. Yeah. You mean? Well, let's put it this way. He wanted it done now. So, you know, the problem is we don't know for sure all that. We haven't got a printer lined up. So we don't know if that's a month or 2 months. I think we could have hard copies by the end of this year. But my realistic feeling is that we would kick it off at Shepherd's Conference next year. That's my feeling. Because we need some sort of significant thing to do it. We might have them in our pews sooner, but I don't think we go to a printer until September, October. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. The web page will have updates about what's going on and what we're looking at. Yeah.
This is kind of a change, I think, from history, where there were interchangeable tunes and texts. But I've actually found that our people actually have not responded well to that, and mm-hmm. at least expressed, you know, in their view, a sort of confusion towards that. You know, if we do the tune for Crown Him with Many Crowns with, like, Give to the Winds Your Fears or something.
Right.
Are you purposely going to avoid that? Are you going to have some interchangeable ones?
There will be. For example, there is the hymn, which... I ask the Lord that I'm, you know, that we need to play for you, which is Wally Wally. We've discussed that, and we've talked about using different keys for each version. Any questions? Yeah.
You know, have you guys, I'm sure you've been around this idea of making all of the public domain stuff just completely free online?
It's possible. It's possible. We have to figure out how to pay for the whole project first. After that, we're hoping that the devotional edition sort of underwrites the project. So, any other questions or anything you'd listen, guys? If you fill out the survey, if there are songs that you would love to see in the hymnal, we would love to consider them. If there are ideas, key changes, other words, other melodies, things that you're using in your churches that have proven to be memorable and beautiful, then let us know, and we'd love your input. We're in the stage now where we're just kind of compiling. We've got hundreds of old hymns to go through. Can they be freshened up? I know some people who have written new melodies to sings. There's a kid at Southern Seminary who wrote a new melody for... God Moves in a Mysterious Way, and he also wrote a refrain, and we're using it at Master's College with the students now. In fact, we're recording it with a recording we're doing. If you want a copy of it, I'll email it to you. It's copyrighted, so you got to be nice to him. But those are great words by William Cooper. If you have stuff like that and you think we should see it or know about it, that's great. Listen, I see all sorts of stuff, so nothing will shock me or scare me. So, you know, from the elder's son who plays guitar, drums, and sings, okay, all of the Psalms, okay, that takes a long time. But I'll listen to anything, so send me anything. I shouldn't keep you much longer. Because I know you guys, hey, a lot of you haven't eaten, and it's 10 after 2, okay? So I appreciate you coming. Let me close in prayer. And if you have questions, come see me. But thank you for coming. Father, thank you for this time together. Just thank you for your word, the promises that we have in it. Thank you, Father, for the worship that we have in our hearts that, God, you have planted there, that you supply for us, that you provide, that you give us all that we need to adequately worship you. And thank you that you enable us, Father, to sing your praises, to express what is in our hearts. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.